Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, go to our website at www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
George Washington made plain that it is not possible to rightly govern the world without the Bible. One of the reasons I wrote, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's divine inspiration is that the Bible today is under siege. It is being attacked by politicians and punmeisters, by magazines, on television shows. It has been marginalized as though it is no longer relevant for Western civilization. In some sense, we now no longer live in the pages of the Bible, but rather live in the shadow of the Bible. And in this milieu, it is critical for Christians to know that they know that they know that the Word of God, to which they have committed their lives, is indeed authentic, reliable, trustworthy, true. Has God Spoken, now available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can also order via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you pick up the telephone and talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up today is James in Berkeley, California. Hi, James.
Hello, Hank. I have a question about another Bible call-in talk show and that question and answer show on Friday with Bob George and four of the other days with some other gentlemen. I think one is named Christopher, People to People.
Yeah.
You know that one?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Bob George, and I disagree with so much of what he focuses on, particularly the notion that as a Christian, you do not have to ask for forgiveness. This is decidedly unbiblical and untrue. As a Christian, we ought to daily confess our sins and recognize that God is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His ultra-dispensationalist perspective is so ingrained and strident today that he doesn't even think that the Lord's Prayer is efficacious for us today because, of course, we are taught in the Lord's Prayer to seek forgiveness for sin. So I would disagree with that, and I think it's unfortunate that he has focused so much of his energy and his ministry talents on that aberration.
How about the other gentleman that's on the other 4 days of the week?
I'm not as familiar with him, but I imagine if they're on together that they probably share.
Well, he's not usually on. He's on only on Fridays, People to People.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that I would imagine they share the same perspective. I just don't know. I haven't heard personally.
Is it just a real simplistic thing? Is that, you know, I'm trying to get what it is that I'm missing. You know, I'm thinking, are they just making it too simplistic?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I mean, the whole message, you know, like not going deep into the scriptures of the Bible, but just focusing on salvation without going deeper.
Well,
that's what it seems like. You know, that's what my question is sort of.
Yeah, I can't really speak to that issue because I don't listen to the program enough at this point. I've just looked at the overall focus of Bob George's ministry in general, and my great concern is that he is teaching Christians that they don't need to ask forgiveness for their sins, and I think this is a dangerous teaching because if you do not, you can certainly break your communion with God. Not saying that that would break your union with God, but certainly the fellowship that we can have. sin is that barrier. Unconfessed sin, a significant barrier, and therefore we're told in Scripture to confess our sins. That's a present active subjunctive. It is a command. It is something that we ought to continue to do. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Isaac, listening on the web in Aurora, Colorado. Hi, Isaac.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, I love your show also, too, Hank. I've listened to you for a great many years.
Thank you.
I have a question concerning Genesis chapter 1, verses 4, 14, 15, and 16,
mm-hmm.
where it talks about the light. God said, let there be the light, and I guess I'm trying to understand. I understand that the we have the heaven and then the firmaments as the stars at night. Where does the other lights fit into that perspective?
Well, I think that if you look at the account that we have in Genesis chapter 1, the days of Genesis are rendered literal solar days, but they're not rendered literal solar days to establish a chronology in creation, but to remember the purposes of God in creation. So I don't think that we want to say that the first 3 days were not solar days. They were depicted as solar days. But again, this is to underscore God's purposes in creation as opposed to giving us a chronology of creation.
Oh, that's wonderful. I like that thought. That puts me on the track then to where I need to be then. I really appreciate that, Hank.
Well, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. And do remember, that's the whole point. The point is learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. Back to the phone lines, Everett listening in Sirius XM 131, West Palm, Florida. Hi, Everett.
Hi, Hank. Can you hear me, Hank?
Absolutely. Good to talk to you.
Hi. I had a question. You were talking yesterday on your program about embryos and frozen embryos. My question is, do embryos have a soul attached to them?
Well, remember,
do they have a soul?
Remember, whenever you have a fertilized human egg, what you have is a human being. Indeed, when a woman conceives and gives birth, she's giving birth to a body-soul unity. That's what it means to be human. So we would say that an embryo does not have a fully developed personality, but certainly has full personhood from the moment of conception. So yes, an embryo does have a soul, because the embryo is a human being, and therefore it's a body-soul unity.
Okay, what happens to those souls in the event that those embryos are lost? They don't make it through the thawing period, or they're just discarded. What happens to those souls?
Well, if the embryo does not make it through the thawing period, then it has died. And at death, there's an unnatural rending between body and soul. And what we look forward to, however, is that body will be restored, in fact, will flourish to what it would have been if sin had never entered the world. That's the hope of Christianity. The hope of Christianity is that when the Lord returns a second time, or as Hebrews puts it, appears a second time, then those who have died will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and we who are still alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so we'll be with the Lord forever. And, of course, this is laid out for us beautifully in Revelation chapter 21, where we see a vision vicariously through the eyes of John. And in that vision, God himself is with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new.
I see. So all children that are lost like that, or in abortion, or killed at a very, very young age, they go to heaven?
Yes, I believe so. I believe that because of a theological deduction based on the nature of God. I don't want to shout where the Bible is largely silent, but I do think that we can appeal to the Scripture in part, but more particularly to the nature of God as He's revealed Himself to us in the Holy Scriptures, a God who is ultimately just and righteous and merciful, and a God who will resurrect those people who have not had an opportunity, or those persons particularly that have not had an opportunity to live in this life. We'll raise them to eternal life to live with Him forever. The picture, I think, is poignant and profound with respect to the quintessential king of Israel, David. He lost a child, and as long as that child was still living, he mourned. But when the child died, he washed his face, and he went about his business because he knew that one day he would be with that child. And I think that gives us a glimmer towards this perspective as well.
I see. So even though as horrible as abortion is, those children are really better off being aborted. I mean, considering the long run, when they grow up, the odds are they're not going to accept Christ. I mean, the most people don't. So those children are overall better off.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't look at it that way, because we could say that in general terms. If we start looking along those categories, we could say it's good not to evangelize, because if those who have never heard are on their way to heaven, then evangelism only serves to do harm as opposed to doing good. I don't think that's a good way to reason. I think it's the argument ad absurdum. I don't think that you can ever say that it is good to kill an innocent human being.
Right. Well, I agree.
Yeah. So the point is, God gives people volition. He gives them the opportunity to have a relationship with Him, but He doesn't force that relationship on them. Certainly there are theological constructs that would answer the question differently than I have. Again, because it's largely a theological deduction. There are people that would say, well, God looks at that child, he knows what that child would have done had that child lived, and He judges that child accordingly. So again, theological constructs look at this in different ways. But ultimately, I like to answer this question from the perspective of the nature of God. Looking at the nature of God and making a theological deduction from that. One thing we know in either case, whatever the answer is, we know that in the greatest size, God will rule justly, He will judge justly, and all that He will do will be perfect. So He will take into consideration every converging factor without error and render an absolutely just, merciful, and righteous judgment.
I agree. Okay, Hank, thank you very much for the insight.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, and I think this certainly underscores the fact that we have a silent Holocaust in our midst. It is a travesty. It is a tragedy. It is the painful killing of innocent human beings. Not innocent in the sense that they were not born and conceived in sin, but innocent in the sense that they do not deserve a sentence of capital punishment. They're the most vulnerable in our midst, and I find it highly ironic that in our society there is on the one hand a great propensity towards being kind and gracious and caring for little children. And yet, if you transition that to the womb, the caring somehow or other stops. And we allow a silent Holocaust to continue in our midst. And I think one of the things we need to do in an age of scientific enlightenment is to point out the reality of what a child actually is. The preborn child has personhood. And it has cell reproduction. It can It can relate to stimuli. There are certainly reasonable perspectives by which we can see metabolism that takes place. All of these point in an age of scientific enlightenment to the fact that this is a person. And it is a person in each stage of its development. It has a distinct human genetic code. It has, on the basis of scientific fact, all of the qualities that underscore it as a person. And therefore, we need to educate people in this regard. This is, again, a critical issue. I've dealt with it in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
At the Christian Research Institute, August is definitely a valley month financially, and every gift from God's people is a special blessing. Please prayerfully consider sending a gift to the ministry this month so we can continue broadcasting in your area. To say thank you for your support, we'd like to send you Hank's newest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Hank poured his life into this book. His desire is for you to have assurance in the reliability of God's Word, because truth matters. Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. To donate to the Christian Research Institute and receive Has God Spoken, simply call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and for your gift of $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I would be pleased to personalize a copy of Has God Spoken to you, a family member, or a friend, or when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, where you give on a regular monthly basis. I'll send you Has God Spoken as well. You can check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just write me, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines, Erica, listening in Porter Ranch, California. Hi, Erica.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hank, I wanted to kind of get your perspective on the book from Rebecca Brown, He Came to Set the Captives Free.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that book?
I am. It's unbalanced and accurate. It's extreme in its presentation of issues relating to Satanism and the occult. She has the perspective that Christians can be demonized. That is decidedly unbiblical. When you become a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It will not be shared with a demon.
Uh-huh.
So demons can certainly tempt you. But if you put on the full armor of God, as we're instructed in Ephesians chapter 6, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. So I think it far better to do what Paul does in Ephesians 6, and that is emphasize the power of God to protect, than sensationalistically arguing that Satan has powers that he doesn't have in terms of how he can pillage. He cannot possess a believer because a believer is possessed by God. So again, an extremely unbalanced view of Satan, Satanism, witchcraft, the occult, spiritual warfare, and her view of hell looks more like Dante's Inferno than the Bible, where you have Satan and his demons governing hell and tormenting the unrighteous. Well, that is hardly what is going to happen in hell. Hell is made for the devil and his angels. They're not going to be setting up shop there and tormenting people.
Okay. Okay. So, because a lot of people, there's a lot of controversy, like, you should read it, you shouldn't read it, and me being kind of a new believer, it's kind of, it's you know, it can get confusing at times.
Yes, and this is where you want to learn to exercise discernment skills. And I can tell you that this is a subject that is near and dear to my heart. I believe people need to understand the reality of spiritual warfare and how to deal effectively with spiritual warfare. It's why I wrote a book titled The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. That will give you a balanced biblical view on spiritual warfare.
Okay. Okay. All right, Hank. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call.
God bless
you. God bless you. Back to the phone lines. April, listening on Sirius XM 131, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, April.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Something's been weighing very heavily on my heart for quite a while now, and I'm looking for some discernment and perspective. After only about 2.5 years of marriage, my husband petitioned for divorce and divorced me civilly about 2 years ago. He is professes that he's Roman Catholic, and I'm wondering if it's true that there's any biblical term of annulment in the Bible. I'm really unclear about that. Or is that just a mechanism used by the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, here's the deal. If you were married, then you should not seek a divorce. If your husband divorced you, then you are free. You're not bound in that circumstance. And so you can move on with your life. You are, on the basis of the desertion, free to pursue your life and the relationships under the leading of the Holy Spirit,
right,
and with good biblical counsel. So desertion and adultery are grounds that are given for divorce. Now, they're always given because of the hardness of our hearts, so that the ultimate best perspective, the best end game, as it were, is reconciliation. But that always takes two parties. It takes a person that is willing to forgive and a person wanting to be forgiven. If that doesn't happen, then reconciliation cannot take place.
Right. It's quite sad, because the only thing he really would really say as a reason is he had to be happy. It was totally feeling-based.
Yeah, well, and that is unfortunate, because God has not called us to be happy. He's called us to be holy. And quite frankly, if we live within the parameters that he sets forth for us to live within, we will be happy, but not happy by the world's standard, as though happiness is based on happenings. No, it will be a joy that transcends the circumstances of life, because in this life, you're always going to have trouble.
That's right.
Yeah, so life is difficult, and the unfortunate thing is, and this is something that I'm sure he will experience in his life, is when you look for the grass that's greener on the other side of the fence, you find out that in reality, it just looked greener. It really is dead. So you're far better off when you are married to recognize that two imperfect people have come together in a union, and those two imperfect people have all kinds of rough edges, but the sandpaper of life allows those rough edges to become smooth over time. And so you learn and you grow and you mature, and you find that love ultimately is not just a feeling, it's a commitment. The feelings ebb and flow, but the commitment, if it's the foundation, will produce wonderful feelings during many times of your life, just like a rose produces a fragrance.
Yes. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
You got it. Bless you. And if you want to hang on, there's an article that we produced in the Christian Research Journal on divorce and remarriage that I think is extraordinarily helpful. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Mark, listening on KSIV in Leesburg, Missouri. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I was wondering what you thought of a author, Francis Chan.
I love Francis. I think he's a wonderful communicator. He's a wonderful person, and he's someone that I have looked at as a friend and a colleague in ministry. I have great appreciation for his work and for his ministry, and particularly for his heart.
I recently purchased his book, Erasing Hell, and I haven't got into it a whole lot, but I was wondering what you thought particularly of that book.
You know, Francis gave me a copy of it, and I should have read it by now, and I am embarrassed to say that I have not gotten through it yet just because of a pile of other things that I had on my plate, but I plan to read it soon. In general, though, he's a very reliable author, and I would suspect that this is no different. This, I'm sure, is a good book.
All right, well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate your program, and I want you to know that I pray for you.
Thank you. You cannot know what that means to me. Thank you so much for your prayers. It is an honor to have the body of Christ and people within it pray for me in this ministry. Let's go back to the phone lines now, talk to Tony. She's listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Hank. Very nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
My question is probably a very, obvious one, and I'm just missing it somewhere. But when, you know, in the Bible, I don't remember the chapter or verse, but where it says, you know, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm asking this question because, you know, when someone, you know, passes away here, you know, not in the resurrection. Where exactly are they between when their spiritual bodies meet their resurrected bodies? I mean, in heaven with present with God in heaven, and then the millennium comes, and then they meet up with their spiritual bodies, and then they're all here in the millennium with us, and that's stayed here. I don't know how I'm even phrasing this right.
That's fine. You may want to simplify it just a little bit, but the passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, home in the body means absent from the Lord, and absent from the body means to be at home with the Lord. What happens when someone dies is the soul leaves the body. So the body becomes a soulless body. The body actually then is buried. The soul, or the non-physical aspect of humanity, is, if you are a believer, in the presence of the Lord. As described by Jesus, it's Abraham's bosom or paradise. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns again with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, then the soul returns to the body, and we are resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So there's not a different body, but there's a one-to-one correspondence between the body that now is and the body that will be. The difference is that it's raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So if you think about it from the perspective of DNA, there's a blueprint for you that makes you you. That blueprint will make you you for all eternity, except that it will flower and flourish in a perfect environment in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain.
That'd be great. What I'm really trying to get at is the spirit is with God, or Abraham's bosom with God right now, with Christ.
That's correct.
Okay, and where that is just an awesome place.
Well, yeah, it's not a place. I mean, that's a category mistake. Remember that souls are non-physical. So to ask where a soul is a category mistake. Where a soul is not the issue, because, again, it's non-physical. So we're talking, when we say absent from the body, present with the Lord, not in locational terms, but in relational terms. When the soul returns to the body, then, again, it has extension in space.
Okay, I'm kind of getting that. That kind of makes sense. It's hard to, for me to understand all this super, divine stuff.
Well, these are difficult things for everybody to grapple with, so don't feel bad about that. I mean, these are things that take a lot of thinking, and so you're asking a good question, and you should be commended for that. I think it's wonderful that you're thinking in this regard, and don't feel bad at all. I mean, so often when I get asked questions, I have to say, look, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I've got to research and return. Well, in the process, you learn and develop and grow, and that's what you're doing. So good for you.
Well, thank you. I have all your books, and I study thoroughly, and I'm very happy to be a Christian, and I love Jesus, and this is all awesome.
Well, your joy and enthusiasm are contagious. Thank you so much for calling, Tony.
Well, thank you, Hank.
Bless you. And do remember the Christian Research Journal. We answer a lot of questions there. We deal with cutting-edge issues. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. I mean, you got to see it to believe it, quite frankly. It's won all kinds of awards for presentation. The content is great. If you're not subscribing, please do that. It'll enrich your life. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And we'll be back in just a moment with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Men broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you with the tools to defend your faith. In the cover article of the current issue of the journal, Hank Hanegraaff reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context to apply them to Jesus Christ. While many Christians have stumbled over this objection, the answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today and find the key that unlocks messianic prophecy. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Apocalypse Code audiobook is now available from the Christian Research Institute. Hank Hanegraaff reads the entire unabridged audiobook on MP3 CD. The Apocalypse Code will give you a better understanding of the end times, but will also teach you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. It will show you the key to understanding the book of Revelation is found in the rest of Scripture. Order the Apocalypse Code audiobook on MP3 CD or MP3 download directly from our website at equip.org. Just go to equip.org/audiobooks. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And back to your phone calls. Bryant is next, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Nevada. Hi, Bryant.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Hey, I have two questions. The first one's important. The second one's just for information. I have a 19-year-old stepdaughter who's profoundly handicapped. Her brain was half destroyed when she was a baby by bacterial meningitis from her vaccination series. And I'm wondering about her spiritual condition because you can't communicate with her and she can't talk. And I'm wondering what the prognosis would be for her.
Well, the general principle is God's not trying to keep people out of fellowship with Him. He died so that we could have fellowship with Him. So He's not looking to present obstacles to that relationship, but He is looking forward to that relationship. He died so that that relationship could be ensured. And so I think you can safely leave this wonderful young lady in the hands of an infinitely loving and infinitely just God, and know that one day she will be restored to what she would have been had sin not entered the world, and she will have fellowship with her Lord and Savior, her Creator, throughout the eons of time. That's the blessed hope of Christianity. It doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with things like handicaps. It gives us something far greater, the hope that one day all things will be put to right.
Okay. All right, that helps me a great deal. The second question is, the Bible says that Satan was perfect in wisdom. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was. He had requisite knowledge. He was in the presence of God.
Right. So how wise is it, or he? I would think he would be wise enough to know he can't win, and how wise is it to continue fighting a losing battle?
Well, look at Solomon. Solomon was given a wise and discerning heart, and as such became the wisest of all men, save right. Theanthropus, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And yet, at the end of his life, he built altars for his gods, or the gods of his pagan wives. So his pagan wives and concubines turned his eyes from the Lord. He engaged in polygamy. I mean, you wonder why someone with a wise and discerning heart would do such a thing. But you don't even have to look at Solomon. You can look at yourself. Why is it that we sin all the time, even though we know that we are violating the righteousness of God? It's the human condition, and certainly Satan was given the intuitive power to know what it would be like, or to imagine what it would be like, to get honor and glory and power and worship for himself, and that is what he chose. That is what it is to have a volitional being who has an opportunity to choose or not to, to choose otherwise. And when that happens, then evil becomes a potentiality, as well as that potential can be actualized, as it were, in the case, as it was in the case of Satan. So again, why do human dictators typically not resign or surrender, but rule until they are physically removed, or until they physically can't rule anymore?
Yeah, that's a quandary there.
It is the quandary of sin and evil.
Right. All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate your help. I'll call back later with other questions.
Well, good. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Michelle. Michelle is listening on the web in Fremont, California. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Hank. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Oh, great. Okay. I'll try to be brief. I understand about being saved by grace. I totally do, and I'm very thankful for it. I'm a bit confused about the law and the Sabbath. So I'm told that we are no longer under the law, but the commandments is part of the law. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And the Sabbath, amongst other things, are part of the Ten Commandments. So I'm confused. Do you understand my question?
Sure. Yeah, and okay. It's a very good question. The law has various uses. I mean, the law reveals sin, and as such, it is the schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. And when we come to Christ, as you say, we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Uh-huh. But the law also maintains order in society, and it is a guide for believers in living out the Christian life. So while the civil aspects of the law, which were largely a function of a theocracy, no longer have relevance today, while the ceremonial aspects of the law were fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and therefore the sacrificial system and dietary laws have been abrogated, the moral aspects of the law, those moral principles as delineated in the commandments, are still significant and are axiomatic in living out the Christian life. So it's law, but it's not legalism. It is the reality that these laws are all efficacious. I mean, there's no abrogation of thou shalt not covet. There's no abrogation of thou shalt not steal. There's no abrogation of thou shalt not commit adultery. There's no abrogation of the fact that we are to work 6 days, and we are to set aside one day in remembrance that God owns all of our time.
Yeah,
and that Jesus Christ is the one in whom we have our Sabbath rest.
Okay. there's someone that keeps telling me that we don't need to do that. We don't need to set aside that day. But I think I understand now, because she says the Sabbath is, it's the law, and I shouldn't be returning to the law.
Well, there's a couple of things here. I mean, first of all, we do set aside a day because we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in whom we have our Sabbath rest. So it isn't the day that is axiomatic. It is the fact that we are following a cycle, and in that cycle, remembering what is significant. The fact that Christ not only came, but Christ rose, and because he rose, we too will rise. That is something that we celebrate with joy. That's why we set apart the Lord's Day as a time to remember his resurrection, in as well as a time in which we can have oneness with one another. We can worship God. We can be equipped to go out and impact the world. So the importance is that we set that day aside. Now, the kind of legalism that was part of the theocratic system associated with the Sabbath day has been abrogated, which is to say, we're not going to stone someone to death if they light a fire. No, I mean, this is these are legalistic prescriptions that were part of the civil and ceremonial law that that don't apply to us today.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. And remember, under both the Old Testament and New Testament, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ alone. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in Littleton, Colorado. Hi, John.
Hi. I've got a question that's it's kind of hard to ask, especially on a Bible show. It's something that's necessarily not preached at the pulpit. But I had been addicted to pornography for several years, and finally, through the mercies of God and him giving me the tools and the strength, I was able to break free of that weight. Thank the Lord. Question I had was, it had just came to my attention, there are some family members that someone in my family had been or always addicted to it. How is the best way to approach that, try to help him? Because the way that I was able to get help was, sadly enough, I had to hit rock bottom where my companion almost divorced me.
Yeah. Well, a good question. I'm glad you asked it. And we're dealing with that in a lot of different ways at the Christian Research Institute. We have had some pretty insightful articles that have been written by Joe Dallas in the Christian Research Journal. And we have an article coming up in the upcoming issue of the Christian Research Journal in this regard. But I think one of the most helpful tools or resources that is available today for those who genuinely want to change, that want to attain sexual integrity, is a book called The Game Plan, The Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. It again is by Joe Dallas, and I don't know of anyone in the Christian world today that writes more helpfully and in a more compelling, edifying fashion in this particular regard. The book I would highly recommend. I mean, I think it's a book you need to get and give, and then recognize from your own experience that God has put you through something so that you can help someone. And so don't marginalize or take that lightly. You've been through an experience. You've attained, by God's grace, victory in the circumstance. And I think as a result of that, you can be an extraordinary help in this regard as well. Again, for everybody listening in, the game plan, the Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity, is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Countless men's lives are being ruined by sexual sin. It infects, it corrupts, it devastates. As just mentioned, it destroys relationships and families and lives. And everywhere men turn today, there is this sexual temptation. It's rearing its ugly head. The internet, of course, has made it easier than ever to get caught in the trap of sexual sin. And it takes more than a little effort for men to resist the temptations. It takes a plan, and that's why I recommend the game plan. I did an endorsement for it, in fact, and I say in the endorsement that no one understands this subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblical and user-friendly game plan for Christian men committed to reclaiming moral purity. So this is a resource that no man should be without. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can just go to the World Wide Web and order online at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Here's what I'm going to do. Stay right here in studio for an extra hour. Once we go off the air today, continue taking your calls for the next hour. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to you. You can also call right now. And for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. Remember, I will continue answering your questions for an hour. Once we go off the air, we'll record that. And we'll play my answers to your questions on someday when I'm traveling around the country or the world. The number to dial again, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. If you don't have it yet, get Has God Spoken. It is a book that I am so thankful that God gave me the opportunity to write. It is the crowning jewel of my writing career because it deals with the most important resource that we have, the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. You can know that you know that you know not only that the Bible is God's Word. Think about that for a moment. God's Word. That's a strong statement. These aren't just the words of men. These are men carried along, moved by the Holy Spirit. God speaking through men so that we might know, so that we might be transformed, so that we can live with victory, hope, and triumph in a lost and searching world.
Thanks for joining us for The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. On today's broadcast, we've mentioned several resources that will help equip you to defend the faith. To order products or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.